we come to him tonight humbly and ask him to speak to us. If you have a copy of the scripture, let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We were there this morning and we were looking at what type of vessel does God use? What is he looking for? He's looking for a vessel of honor, fit for the master's use. And in 2 Timothy, you remember he reminds them of the fact that in a great house, and he's referring to the church, the body of Christ, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. Now, the goal that every believer ought to have is we ought to have the goal of being a vessel that honors God. Amen? We want to be a vessel that's honoring to God. And this morning, we looked at the fact that if we're going to be a vessel that's honored to God, he gives us the criteria right here in the text. He says, first of all, if you're going to be a vessel that honors God, you must purge yourself, okay? Verse 21, if a man therefore purge himself from these. In other words, he's asking us that we would purge ourselves, that we would be cleansed completely, not partially, that we would be cleansed completely. As I mentioned this morning, that Greek word is only used two times in the New Testament Greek. And it's that idea of being totally clean. We're to be getting rid of all the sin that's in our life. And I asked the question this morning, does God use a dirty vessel? Oh, absolutely he does. He can use whoever he wants to. Amen? He can use me and you. He can use us even when we're not all we need to be. In the scripture, I'm thankful that God uses people. They weren't always the cleanest vessel, but God used them for his glory and for his purpose. But I must remind us, the reason that he wants us to remember this, that sin destroys our walk with God. Whenever there's sin in our life, it keeps us from walking with God. Sin dulls our senses. It keeps us from hearing God. Catch this. It keeps us from hearing the voice of God. It keeps us from the Holy Spirit working greatly in our lives to reveal to us the truth of the Word, as he will do that as we live for God. And then we look at the fact that we got to be sanctified. Now remember that word hagiazo, sanctified, means it has two ideas. It means we're set apart. We're set apart from sin and we're set apart for God. And remember he said earlier, hey, you got to be clean, and he's talking about this again. But he says, listen, I want you to understand a vessel of honor, they must crucify, they must die to self and to sin, and they must live unto God. In Romans chapter 6, when it talks about sin must no longer be master over us, it talks about how what we're to be yielding, talks about how we're to yield to God, we're to yield our hearts and our minds to God that he might use us. He sets us apart for his purpose and plan. And by the way, the process of sanctification is taking place in every believer's life right now. God is sanctifying you. He's preparing you for the day that you'll stand before him and he will declare you righteous in Jesus. I don't know about you, I'm not planning on going to heaven in my righteousness. I'm planning to go to heaven in his righteousness. I'm planning on going there because of what he did at Calvary, and I can test that to be so. But then we must be meet, we must be useful for the master. Notice what he says here. You must be meet for the master's use. You must be a vessel that's available, that's open, that's submissive, that's yielded to the will of the master. We looked at lordship this morning and how that he's the Lord of our life and what that involves. And then the last thing we looked at this morning, we must be prepared for every good work. We must be prepared for service. And let me tell you what, I believe that God is looking for a few people who will be available to him. And you know, and that bears witness in the scripture, does it not? There was 120 nobodies in an upper room in Acts chapter 1, and Pentecost came in Acts chapter 2, and let me tell you what, God began to turn the world upside down. He used people that were available. He used people that were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he used them because they were vessels of honor. And that's what he desires for us, church. We must be available to God to be used of him. Now, let me give you the fifth one tonight. Number five, we must have a pure heart. Notice what he says here. Flee also youthful lust and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So, in other words, he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to have a pure heart, and the characteristics, he uses five of them here, okay? What are the five characteristics of a pure heart? First of all, we got to flee youthful lust. Fleeing is not optional. I want you to understand that, but it is to be persistent. You've got to be constantly fleeing youthful lust. And the Greek word there for flee, it's a word we get our word fugitive from, by the way. It's the idea, it's a command. We must run away from sin. Isn't that not true what happened in the life of Joseph? You remember Joseph? He was in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife said, hey, I want to be with you. And he rejects her advances. He said, I cannot be with you. I'm in my master's house. That would be offensive to the master. He's your husband. And a second time she comes to him, and guess what? He leaves part of his clothing behind the second time. He didn't yield to the lust. He fled away from it. He was a fugitive. He ran from sin. As a result of that, by the way, he ends up in prison. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense, Brother Jerry. Well, let me tell you what, that was in God's plan, the overwhelming plan, the providence of God in Joseph's life was part of that. He was going to end up in prison. And God was going to use him in prison, and God was going to allow him to come and be able to interpret a dream and show that God was going to have years of plenty and years of lack. And sure enough, he prepared all that. And guess who it was that came to him after all those years when they were hungry? They came there and they didn't know it was Joseph, but his brothers came, those one who sold him into slavery. But Joseph got it. See, the problem is not all of us get it. Joseph said, you meant it for my bad, but God meant it for my good. He got it. He said, you know what? God was in control all along. And I'm going to tell you something. One day when you look back on your life, when we get to heaven, we look back on our life, we're not going to have any questions to ask God. You're going to say, hey, you know what? God was with me every step of the way. He was with me when I went through that sickness. He was with me when I went through that difficulty in a relationship. He was with me whenever I faced difficult times. God was with me. We got to flee those youthful and sinful lusts. And by the way, when we talk about youthful lust, a lot of people think it talks about sexual desire. That's one thing. But I'm going to tell you, there's some more. How about pride? When we were young, we knew everything, right? And you can identify with that. You know, we had it all together. We knew everything. The older we get, we realize the less we know. And I think the more humble we become. Because let me tell you what, we got to flee pride, folks. We got to flee. How about wealth? We thought, well, when I'm young, and this is what the students of today, and the sad thing, students today think, well, the job that I'm going to get whenever I graduate from high school and get out of college is the one that's going to pay me the most money. And boy, that's a lie from Satan. Because I'm going to tell you, you don't need to play the place that pays you the most money. You need to be in God's will, in God's plan. We got to flee wealth, and we got to flee power. How about inordinate affection? How about jealousy? How about a spirit that is bad? All these things are youthful lust, folks. These are things that keep us from being a vessel of honor. And if we're going to be pure, if we're going to have a pure heart and that be a vessel of honor, we got to run away from those things. And we got to run to God. By the way, repentance means what? We repent, we change our heart, and we change our direction. No longer we want to pursue after these things. We want to pursue after God. I wonder tonight, are we pursuing God? I'm probably preaching to the wrong crowd tonight. Should have preached this sermon this morning, right? But we got to flee those things. We got to desire in our heart, and that's the negative part of a pure heart. There's four positive things he mentions after that. First of all, he says we're to pursue or follow righteousness. You see that? We're to run from sin, but we're to go towards something. What are we to go towards? We're to go towards righteousness so that we will not be overtaken by sin. We got to pursue righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is right living, folks. That when we're living in the plan and purposes of God, we are living in right living. We're living in righteousness, and God honors that, by the way. He always honors that. Now, how are we going to be that way? How does that come about? Well, the psalmist says it this way. In Psalm 119, verse 9, he says, "Wherewithal shall a man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to your word. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God." By the way, we got to take the word of God, and what do we got to do? We got to hide in our heart. We got to place it in there that the devil can't steal it away. And when the enemy comes, by the way, whatever area you're dealing with, maybe a sin that easily besets you, whatever that is, memorize scripture in combat of that. And whenever those things come up, you just quote scripture. That's what Jesus did, and it worked for him, and it'll work for us. But for you to pursue righteousness means that you're going to be walking rightly with God. There's a daily time in the Word of God that God is speaking to you and allowing you to walk with him, okay? Pursue righteousness. But aren't we pursue righteousness? Notice else, it says we're to follow faith. Now, the word there in the Greek language is the word that translated faithfulness, by the way. It's the same word that's mentioned of the Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness, by the way. Only by faith will we please God, folks. We're to be faithful to God. And you remember what he says in Hebrews 11:6? He says, whoever comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently please him. Do we want to be God pleasers or men pleasers? I'm going to tell you what, if you're going to be a God pleaser, you got to please God, and you please him by faith, by walking in faithfulness. And I appreciate you that are here tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness to God. I appreciate the fact that you're faithful. These are the folks we can count on that are here, that are constantly, consistently pursuing after God. They are constantly pursuing after the ways of God. That are constantly seeking after God. You're pursuing faith. This faithfulness involves our relationship to God. It involves our relationship to the Word. It involves our relationship to His church. We're to be faithful. We're to be faithful to this church. And boy, I tell you what, I pray that God would raise up more people in Lane Prairie Baptist Church that will be faithful. They'll be faithful to hear God's word. They'll be faithful to follow God's word. And we're to be faithful to his calling. Do you realize that if God's called you to do something, he's counting on you. He's counting on you to follow that call. And I'm thankful for that call that he gives you. But we're to pursue faithfulness. That's a part of having a pure heart. Now, when we pursue faithfulness, notice what it says. We're to follow after, he says, faithfulness and charity. Okay, the word charity, you know that word for love. This is, by the way, the word for agape love. It's a selfless, self-giving love. If we're going to walk with a pure heart, love has got to rule in our lives, by the way. We got to love people the way the Lord loves people. You know? And we got to, as I mentioned this morning, we got to start seeing people through the eyes of God. We need to leave in the morning and say, God, help me as I run into people. Help me to see them as you see them. Help me to see people as you see people. Help me to encourage people as you would encourage them. By the way, isn't it amazing how many contacts we have in a week's time? If you're out and about, you're going to be in contact with a lot of people. And those people, some of them are hurting. Some of them need a word of encouragement. Some of them just need a positive effect on their life, someone to come in their life. They've heard negative things all day. And I'm going to tell you, some of those people are people that you go, like people at the grocery store. You know, some of them have had a customer that got upset because they charged them 2 cents more than they should have charged them. Big deal, by the way, big deal. You didn't give me my special, 2 cents special. That's funny, by the way. But you know, people get bent out of shape for that. And those poor grocery people, they're just kind of hanging in there. Encourage them. Encourage that guy that's there at the, this last week I went and it was past due for my oil to be changed. I'm trying to get they gave me 4 oil changes for free when I bought my car. And I'm up to 3, and I ran into a guy there. His name was D, and I started talking to D, encouraged him, told him kind of where I worked and what was going on. And you could tell the guy had probably a tough day, probably had some customers coming there, upset their car wasn't running right. And I gave him a pen from Lane Prairie Baptist Church. He thought I'd given him $1 million. He said, man, that's a nice pen there. I said, well, I just want to give it to you, let you know about our church and that we're serving the Lord out there. And it had the info, you know, but he could go online. It says LaneProairieBaptistChurch.com, and he could go check out our church. And it encouraged him. Just that's it. You say, well, that's so simple, Brother Jerry. Well, it's so simple, but why don't we do it? We need to be pursuing people every single week that we come in contact with. When you go out to eat, there's this waitress that probably needs your encouragement, by the way. And she hasn't been encouraged very much, but you need to encourage her. And the way you encourage her when you finish your meal, be generous with your tip, okay? They're working for that. That's their livelihood. But we're to love people. We're to have the love the Lord has. John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. What are we to be doing? We're to be laying our life down for the Lord. That's part of being a pure life, pursuing love. But not only are we to pursue love, notice what it says, peace. That word is the word irene in the Greek language. If it's possible, he says, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. The Lord has called us, by the way. Notice what it says. We're at peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Who are those that call on the name of the Lord? Believers. They call on the Lord for guidance, for strength, for wisdom, for being an honorable vessel. And what are we to be doing? We're to be walking with peace with them. Okay? And by the way, we need to get rid of our differences, and we need to come together and say, let's focus on what we do agree upon, okay? And you can focus on 1 or 2 things that are negative about a person. You can focus on 10 things that are good about them. Is it not true? And if you do that, you'll be a vessel of honor. You'll have a pure heart, and God will honor you for that. Now let's look at number 6, okay? The next one he gives us, we must have a discerning mind. Notice what he says here. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they gender strife. We're to have a discerning mind and everything carefully. An unguarded mind, according to Ephesians 4:14, is tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Okay? Paul spoke about this subject not only here, but he spoke about it also in 1 Timothy 1:3-6 and 1 Timothy 6:3-5, We're to be discerning when it comes to people. We must protect, catch this, our mind and our hearts. What we allow in our minds affects our thinking, our beliefs, our values, our motives. Did you hear that? That affects those things. He says, but foolish. You know what that word for foolish is? It's the word moros. You know that? It's a word for, this is moron. This is the type of stuff. We don't need to be talking about that stuff. It's silly. It's stupid. He says, avoid that type of talking. Don't be sitting there. And by the way, you don't need to be debating with someone concerning the gospel, concerning whether they believe this way or this way, or who wrote this book or who wrote that book. What we need to be encouraging. And if someone comes by your house, here's what I've discovered to do. Say, hey, listen, I'll talk with you as long as you give me equal time. Okay? Now, if they'll give you equal time, you're not wasting your time. If they're going to say, no, we don't want to have equal time, then they're going to probably need to go to the next door. Because that's just going to be foolish. That's going to be silly, okay? And then notice what he says here. Not only foolish, but unlearned questions avoid. The idea here is being ignorant or undisciplined ideas. We're to avoid these controversial things. It is fine to discuss scripture and theology. Don't misunderstand me tonight. But he forbids speculation that produces strife in our lives. You know, we shouldn't be discussing scripture to bring strife in our lives. We don't need to be debating that which people have different ideas about different texts. You can look at a text this way and look at a text this way. And by the way, isn't it amazing how God sometimes opens our eyes? We can see a text differently next time we look at it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that guides us into the truth. But he says you must have a discerning mind if you're going to be a vessel of honor, because you're going to deal with people that, catch this, are difficult. You're going to deal with people that want to deal with speculation. They're going to want to deal with silly stuff and moros, with foolish things and unlearned things. He says, don't get caught up in that. Get caught up in telling people the truth of the scripture, the truth of the word of God. And by the way, when you share the word of God, that's when you stand on this, the word of God, that's the best place to be. Okay? Not, well, let's debate whether who wrote the Pentateuch, or, you know, what is your theory on eschatology? And, you know, I have a theory on eschatology. I believe a certain way according to the scripture, but I'm not going to debate with somebody on that. There's no purpose in that. There's no value in that. We must have a discerning mind when it comes to people. And then not only that, notice what he says here. Interesting, right after he talks about this discerning mind, he says, knowing that they gender strife, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but must be gentle. Now catch that. Right after he said, have a discerning mind, he says, hey, what is it going to take? You got to have a gentle heart. Okay? God's servants, He's talking about the servant of the Lord, God's servants, and the word servant there is the word doulos in the Greek language, are to have gentle hearts. We're not to live in strife. That means to be odds with others, but we're to be kind. We're to be gentle. We're to build up, not tear down. We're not to be harsh and abusive, but we're to be apt to teach. Notice what he says here. But the servant of God must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach. That means to be highly skilled in teaching. We're to be those who are teaching the word of God. We're to be faithful in that. By the way, I still believe that everyone who teaches in our church, whether they be teaching a Sunday school class or teaching in a K group or teaching in anything else, I think they ought to be faithful to this church. Amen? And we have some people right now, they're teachers and teaching some of the kids. They're not faithful. And I'm going to tell you what, they need to be called to faithfulness. Because God's not going to honor that. You know, and that's going to be a weak link in our church. And that'll keep us from being the church we need to be. We who are teachers, by the way, have a higher calling, and we will have a higher expectation when we stand before God. Amen? Read James. It tells you about that. We're to not only be able to teach. This is not about knowledge, but communicating effectively. We're to be patient. When someone that does wrong to us, we're to be kind and patient. The idea of holding up those things. Remember what the Lord said in Matthew 11? He says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. We're to be like our Savior when it comes to, we're to have a gentle heart. We're to be following the example of Jesus. Let me read that to you. 1 Peter, listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Listen to what it says. As we follow the example of Jesus, 1 Peter 2, 21 says this. For even unto you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, who did not sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. In other words, Jesus was a perfect example of suffering. And he said, hey, when he suffered, he didn't lash out. He suffered with a gentle heart. And he's the example we follow, folks, as we go through suffering and difficulties in our life. Number 8, look at it with me. We're to have a humble spirit. Notice what it says here. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure would give them repentance. We're to be, there again, that word meekness. You know, a lot of times when you see the word meekness, everybody thinks that means weakness. It doesn't mean weakness at all. In fact, that Greek word was used in literature to talk about a colt that had been broken for riding. Now, whenever that colt, you know before they're broken, how are they? They're powerful. I mean, they could just knock people around, knock things around. But the idea of this word is strength or power under control. Okay? We're to be like that. In being a gentle person, being a meek person, we're to have meekness. That is a part of the fruit of the Spirit, by the way, in Galatians chapter 5. It's used in Galatians 6 when we're to restore people in our church. And by the way, I still believe we need to be involved in that church. There's people that have fallen by the wayside. And maybe your word of encouragement, not judgmental word, maybe even you sending just a text and saying, hey, you know, we've been missing you, and I'm praying for you. Or maybe giving them a call saying, hey, is there anything I could pray for you? Or is there any way could I help you? Not judgmental, but in love. Notice what he says here. In meekness, instructing. And the idea of this word instructing is correcting. The idea means to... it's used for correcting or instructing children. We're to be correcting those that are in opposition. We're to instruct. We're to educate. We're to give guidance. Opposition of disobedient believers, those that are in foolish and ignorant speculation, what are we to be doing? We're to be helping them, folks. We're to be going to them in meekness. And saying, oh, my brother, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I remember just recently God laid a couple of people on my heart that I've been praying for, and I sent him a text and just said, you know, I want you to know that we've been missing you at Lang Prairie, and I sure praying for you. And you know, one of our members ran into some of that, one of the people I sent that text to, they shared that with me. And you know, the next Sunday they showed up to church. They've been out for months. Some people out there need a nudge. But it's the way you nudge them that makes a difference. You've got to do it in a gentle spirit. Not judgmental. Not saying, man, you are a reprobate. Why haven't you been here this in so many months? No. You need to let them know we love them. We haven't forgot about them. Folks, every one of us ought to be involved in that. In fact, in Galatians 1, it says, you that are spiritual, you that are a vessel of honor, you're to be involved in restoring those who have fallen by the wayside. And every one of us knows someone who's fallen by the wayside. And we're to be there for them. Don't give up on them. Aren't you glad that God didn't give up on us? If he didn't give on us, we should not give up on them, but we should continue to help them. Why do we do that? Notice what he says here in our text. He says we're instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. In other words, our ultimate goal is that God would lead them to repentance, that God would restore them to this body, that God would help them, that they may recover themselves, catch this, out of the snare of the devil who had taken captive by him at his will. Do you realize that? Listen to me now. I want to deal on this right here. There's people in our church, they're not with us now because the enemy has ensnared them. He has showed them, he has said to them, you don't need the church. He has said to them, oh, I can do it on my own. You can do it on your own. He said to them, well, those people down there will think bad of you if you go back. He's a liar. The devil's a liar. And he will lie to them. But I want you to know, our purpose and goal is to do it out of love and meekness and gentleness. And you will be a vessel of honor. Because there's people that maybe the Lord wants to restore. Who does he use to restore? Us. He ain't going to just let her drop down from heaven and hit them and say, oh, I guess I need to go back to church. We need to encourage them. By the way, Easter's coming. It's a great time to give someone a nudge. And by the way, if they're here on Easter Sunday, don't go up to them and tell them, you hadn't been here forever. Don't tell them that. You need to say, we are so glad you're here today. It is great to see you. And maybe again, here's approach that we've mentioned before. Maybe you touch base with them, say, is there something I could be praying for you? There's some people that are really hurting. We're not sure why they went astray. They're really hurting. And we, the body of Christ, are to be vessels of honor, fit for the master's use, that he might use us in restoring someone who is under the snare of the enemy, the devil. May God use us. May we be vessels of honor. And again, I want to thank you that are here tonight. Your faithfulness to be here week after week means so much. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love for the Word, your love for Christ. We had some families visiting this morning. God keeps sending us families. We had a family that sat back here on the back row back here. I talked to them on the phone this afternoon, and they're going to be coming next Sunday, they said, and they enjoyed the service. And then we had another professor from Southwestern Seminary, a professor of New Testament, was here this morning, that Dr. Queen, invited to come over, and he and his wife were here this morning, and they shared with one of the staff members. They enjoyed the service. They'd probably be back next week or be back to see us, and we're so thankful for that. Now, the pastor's not real excited about preaching to seminary professors. I want you to know that. But, you know, if God leads them to our church, thank God. You know? And I'm thankful for God doing that. And God's leading people this way. Let's be faithful. We need to pray that we'll have a breakthrough. I don't know about you. I want to see someone saved soon. Real soon. And let's pray for that. Let's pray that God would just touch us as a body. That he'd use us as a body. That he would increase us as a body. God's been so good to our church. We're debt-free now, folks. And that's a blessing from God. And you've been faithful to give above your tithes and offerings, because our tithes are still going. And this last month, we had a great month in February. You're going to see tonight, we had a great month in January. And God continues to bless us. And I thank God for that. But remember that when we leave this church, we leave this parking lot, we're entering the mission field. And there's people out there that are hurting, that are lost, that have been hurt by maybe a relationship or hurt by a church. And we need to be the balm of Gilead that heals them. May God use us as vessels of honor. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the Apostle Paul that challenges us.